690 days, 680 nights.
This is Radio Bolivie, broadcast every Friday here at WNZK Radio, 690 AM, hosted by syndicated columnist Ray Hanania and Layla Al-Husseini. Get information on show guests and topics by visiting RadioBolivie.com. We want to hear your views. Call in during the show by dialing 248-557-3300. And now, Radio Bolivie.
And good morning and welcome to Radio Bolivie. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690 Radio, broadcasting every Friday. It is November 9th. And our number is 248-557-3300, 248-557-3300. We're going to open up the phone lines again, as we always do every week, to hear what you have to say. I thought it was pretty interesting. I know a lot of my Republican friends are really upset. It's like you can't talk to them. They can't believe it. They're in shock. Barack Obama won, and they're, like, depressed. It's really shocking to them. They're like wandering around like zombies, really. And they just don't understand it. They really thought that Romney was going to win. And, you know, from my perspective, honestly, I could have cared less who won, Obama or Romney, although I did support Obama. Or it was to not vote. I don't believe in third candidates. Ralph Nader is a good guy, but I think it just takes votes away from other people. It would have been nice if Al Gore had won rather than George Bush. And many people argued that, you know what, Al Gore wasn't a very good person to the Arabs. And I figured, okay, you're right, but George Bush was a worse person to the Arabs. The invasion of Iraq, all the different policies in the United States. It really wasn't George Bush. George Bush was a pretty good person. It was Dick Cheney, the vice president, who was the Antichrist, although that's really unfair to the Antichrist. And it was Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense. These people violated the Constitution. And the reason we're in America is because we believe in a principle of democracy. And that's why we came to this country. But not everybody does. People like Cheney and Rumsfeld want to do what they want to do, and they wanted to make profits. So that's what they did. Cheney was involved with that one big company that they ended up contracting in Iraq, and his company made a fortune. But, you know, who cares, right? As long as politics is good. But anyway, so that's why I don't vote for third party candidates, because it really is a wasted vote. Even though a guy like Ralph Nader is a good guy, I'm not going to vote for him, because first of all, it's not good enough just to put your name on the ballot. You have to organize and get your people together behind you. And, you know, when you only get like 4% of the vote, it's really kind of embarrassing. It means that you're not even close to being a serious candidate. So why do that? Why not focus your resources on impacting somebody who is going to be a successful candidate like Al Gore? Why didn't Ralph Nader, for example, support Al Gore? He could have made a difference. Instead, he took votes away from Al Gore, and of course, we all know what happened with that election, right? And here we are today. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of Arabs have suffered because of that one election. How many Arabs have been put in jail innocently? American Arabs we're talking about. And you know what the United States did under Bush, of course. If you read the book 500 Days by Kurt Eichenwald, which I urge you to read, it's a great book. You know that the U.S. arrested people who were innocent, but sent them to prison for 8 to 10 years. And during the first initial 2 or 3 years, they sent them to countries like Syria. So the brutal dictator, Bashar al-Assad, who is under siege, by the way, he's not going to be around long. He really is living in a delusionary world, but he's going to be gone pretty soon. They sent them to Syria, these prisoners, innocent people, where the Syrians tortured them, popped their nails off their fingers, broke their arms, beat them with rubber pipes, threatened their families, and even injured their families, all to get these people to confess the things that they never did. Now, I don't know, to you, maybe some of you, for political reasons, are going, oh, that's okay. No, it's not okay. We don't do that in the United States. Maybe they do that in Syria, where the Bashar al-Assad's forces will kill innocent little children, which that really bothers me, and which is one reason why I'm so militant against Bashar al-Assad. Even though I understand both sides of the argument, I get it. Bashar al-Assad brought some stability to, and the Assad family brought stability to Syria. And he was just like, and he's no different than Saddam Hussein. Because, you know, the argument for Saddam Hussein, the defense was, one, he opposed Israel. Of course, none of the Arab leaders have done anything about Israel, not even Bashar al-Assad. He's like the worst, the biggest wuss. But Saddam Hussein claimed, no, I'm fighting Israel. He didn't do anything with Israel or to help the Palestinians except give them money that was stolen from other people. And two, they say, well, you know, he was protecting some minority groups, and, you know, he was a wall, you know, standing in front of the growth of religious fanaticism, mainly, in their eyes, in the Islamic community. And I don't know, I don't think that's good enough. You don't need a dictator to be your defender. So that's my problem with Bashar al-Assad. So we sent all these innocent people to Syria where they were tortured for years. There was one guy who was American and Canadian, and they grabbed him, and the U.S. government believed that he was an Al-Qaeda member, and they ordered, they ordered the Canadians to arrest him, and they shipped him out to Syria. And in this Kurt Eichenwald's book, 500 Days, talks about all the terrible things that they did to him. And this poor guy, they made him confess to everything, which shows you that torture doesn't work. Torture is just a way to hurt people to get even. And that's what Assad does. He wants to hurt people. He bombed all those cities because he wants to hurt all those cities. So my feeling, and it all winds up, it's all connected. All this stuff is connected. You can't just go and vote and not think that how you vote doesn't have an impact to the rest of the world. It does have an impact. So even though I don't like Obama, I don't think he's the best president we could get, but he was the better of the two terrible choices. Mitt Romney was horrible. And he's from Michigan, and he couldn't even win the state of Michigan. So what I'd like you to do, if you want, how do you feel about the election? Because this is, we're Americans, right? And yeah, we talk about the Middle East, but as American Arabs and Muslims, how do you feel about it? Are you happy? Are you unhappy? Especially in Michigan, I'm sure that there's some Arabs that voted Republican. You know, Arabs are basically conservatives. We do identify with the Republican Party. When I was a kid, my family was Republican. We supported the Republican Party because we believed in family values. We were against abortion. We didn't embrace gay rights. We didn't, you know, believe that we should, just give money away to people in need, that they had to work. Now, I've changed my attitudes about it, but that's how many Arabs were. They worked hard. American Arabs came to this country, worked hard. They came here with nothing, and they were able to build giant industries, and they were able to pay and support their families. Nothing could stop them, an Arab American or a Muslim American, from going out and working and earning money. So they were able to do that. And I remember in the 50s and 60s, we believed that that's what everybody should do. Stand up and pick yourself up. Now, we don't always agree with that today. And that's why I've kind of shifted to the Democratic Party, because I think you have to help people that are in need. So anyway, it is 10 minutes after the top of the hour here at Radio Ballady. Our website is radioballady.com. Our phone number is 248-557-3300. in Detroit. You can listen to us online by going to RadioBallady.com when you're not in the Detroit region of Michigan or Windsor, Canada. But I want you to call in and tell me, what's your thoughts on the election? Barack Obama getting his second term. Is it going to have an impact on the Middle East? My column, if you read my columns in the Saudi Gazette, the one I submitted this week, really analyzes how the Israelis screwed themselves. How Benjamin Netanyahu, the fanatic, and talk about a real fanatic and a terrorist, Benjamin Netanyahu is the worst fanatic terrorist out there. Because, you know, it doesn't mean you have to just kill people directly yourself to be a terrorist. A terrorist is someone who does everything they can to prevent peace. And Benjamin Netanyahu has done everything he can to keep the conflict going because it benefits his fanaticism with those crazy right-wing nut jobs that are running the government of Israel that are dragging the entire Middle East to the ground. So remember, during the election, Netanyahu insulted Obama. Netanyahu led a campaign against Obama. Netanyahu embraced Sheldon Adelson, the rich Israeli fanatic who is the publisher of Israel Hayom, the Hebrew language free newspaper, which is now the largest newspaper in Israel, the most conservative, extremist publication out there that's undermining all of the moderate newspapers. If you believe that there are any Israeli newspapers that are moderate, I do. You may not. But Netanyahu gambled and lost the gamble. Netanyahu attacked Obama, believing Obama was going to lose the election. And he put his chips on the table. And now you know what? Obama won. And I think Obama has an opportunity now to take this and change things. 248-557-3300. We're going to go to Nepal on the phone lines. But I just want to thank our advertisers, Ziad Brothers Importing at Ziad.com, Jake's Candy, Icon Computers, the law offices of attorney Stephen Lagana at LaganaLaw.com, of course the law offices of just the well-known attorney Jumana K. Ruiz. I'm reading stuff about her all over at JumanaKRuiz.com, the American Muslim Center with Imam Mardini. And we also want to thank our radio partners at Radio Aramica. RadioAramica.com is their website. But if you want to listen to our radio show, you dial in on your cell phone at 712-432-8008. Let's welcome the file on the line and say hi. Hey, thanks for calling here at Radio Ballady.
Morning, Mr. Ray. How are you?
Pretty good.
Just I want to say for the election, I've been here since 1976, I've been here until today. I haven't seen, you know, anything been done like who done for United States, but the both pushes, they went down America, not just to the ground, but under the ground too. But which president will be coming over after them? Will be do same Mr. Obama done, which is what he can do. They put it down under the ground, and he raise it up. He push it up above the ground, and he trying to push it up and up to make it way up it used to be like before. And the others, what they've done, they put it way down, as I said.
Yeah. Now, do you believe that Obama has at least tried, even though I don't... Do you agree that he hasn't been the best president, but out of the two choices, he was better than Mitt Romney?
Correct.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, it's a sad thing that our choice is not about who is the best president. Our choice is who's better, because it's all relative. Obama could be a far better president if he would quit, you know, fearing the Israeli lobby and, you know, being so soft on the far right wing fanatics. Because you know as well as I do, no matter how we feel about Syria, no matter how we feel about Arab Christian Muslim relations, the truth is most mainstream Americans hate us all the same. Obama, Hananiah, Nafal, they look at us and they think we're all the same. They just are so uneducated. But it's like, what do we do? How do we change things?
Well, you know, I don't know how that's going to be happen, but they cannot do it not 4 years, but not 8 years terms, but not even 12 years terms, because, as I said, it's been done under the ground. And God bless President Obama, he raised it up at least above the ground, at least.
Yes, he's better than the bunch, and he's very kind, I think, too, isn't he? I think he's genuinely interested in doing the right thing. I just don't know if he could do it, though.
He tried real harder. Even he helped the poor people. A lot of people that could be lose their houses at the crisis, economy crisis, as I mean, and that's good. I'm one of the people who was almost losing my house.
Wow.
Modifications program been done by the president and the government too.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that you had to go through those troubles, and I hope that in Detroit you got a lot of support from the organizations there. Did you get any help?
Yeah. You know, Ray, this is one thing. Second thing about the Arab world countries.
Yes.
You know, it could be Bashar Assad, he's worse. Could be whoever coming after him is going to be worse than him, as has happened to Iraq, because I'm originally Iraqi. And I left the country since 1974 from there. And, well, God bless Saddam Hussein, wherever. I know there's nobody, we are human beings. Nobody, don't make no mistakes. But whoever came after Saddam Hussein, they're made worse than Saddam Hussein. They've been killing people every day, and they keep their eyes closed. Oh, okay, we'll be taken care of it. They only can talk and talk. They don't do anything.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm not saying Saddam Hussein was a good person either. He was a terrible person, but the people that have come over, all they did was change the people they hate, and they're putting people in prison, they're torturing people, they're killing people, but now the American media doesn't care. As long as the people in power are our friends, we won't do anything about it. Because remember, that's how Saddam Hussein got into power. We helped him. When he was our friend, we let him murder, gas, do everything to people. But once we got enemies with him, that's when we decided to change him. Now we're friends with the government of Iraq, and we will let them do whatever they want to do. And that's a shame.
Andre, you know what? The other thing, the only in whole Arab world, the only two countries, they are good, and they have some, it's not completely democracy, but they have some democracy in their countries. One of them is Jordan, Royal Jordan, and the second one is Lebanon.
Those, as
I've seen, because I've been in Lebanon in 1974 when I left the country, and the second thing, when I went to get married in Jordan in 1990, and I've seen some kind of democracy they have than the other Arab worlds. And all those terrorists, they come out, people, they blame Muslims. No, I cannot, as I'm a Christian, I cannot blame them. Those people, they don't have no religion, no God in their heart to do that for the other countries and killing people, because God says, don't kill. That's the first word to say to the people, don't kill. But those they kill, in the name of God. God didn't say kill. Say forgive. Didn't say kill. So this is what's happening right now all over Arab countries.
All right. Nafal, listen, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate
it. I appreciate it. You give me some time to talk, and God bless you.
Listen, whether we agree or not, the most important thing for the American Arab community is we need to start talking openly, get involved. We have to listen to each other whether we agree or not. But a lot of what you said I agree with. Thanks, Nafal.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. This is Radio Bellity, 248-557-3300 is our phone number. Our website is radiobellity.com. It's 19 minutes after the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue talking about the presidential elections. Were you shocked? Are you happy? Will it make a difference? Do you think Barack Obama, now he's a lame duck president, he doesn't have to worry about getting reelected. He can only serve one term. Four more years. He'll have the inauguration in January, and he could do whatever he wants. And I hope he puts his foot down on Israel and beats the crap out of them, because I'll tell you, those people, the Israelis, the government, not the people, the government, they're terrible. And I do criticize the Israeli people, though, for not speaking up enough, because they did everything they could to back Romney, the Israelis who live there. Not the Arab Israelis who are victims of oppression, but the Jewish Israelis. They did everything they could. And you know what? They lost. And now they're going to have to pay for it. And I hope Obama really hammers them and stands up and does the right thing. So we'll see what happens. 248-557-3300 is our number. Give us a buzz this morning here on Friday, November 9th. Tell us what you think about Romney, Obama, and the Middle East. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Dick's Candy. Two for $1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sale at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
Whether it's makluba, warak dawali, tabbouleh, hummus, mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasting natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
The American Muslim Center works for the community. It establishes goodness, virtue, and develops relationships between the Muslim communities as well as regional and national non-Muslim communities. The American Muslim Center on Outer Drive in Dearborn. Call 313-565-9314 or visit AmericanMuslimCenter.org. Good news. As of November 17th, Immigration has been given new instructions to review and close all pending cases. If you're in immigration proceedings, call attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Free consultation for Michigan residents. Mention Radio Baladi. For the latest in immigration law, Stephen Lagana specializes in immigration and federal court proceedings. Visas of all kinds, deportation, court appeals, open refugee status, and much more. All immigration cases are currently pending review. It's time to get the right attorney working for you. Call immigration attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Mention Radio Baladi. That's 617-283-1018.
And welcome back to Radio Baladi. I'm Ray Hanania. Our number is 248-557-3300. Very simple. Pick up the phone. 248-557-3300. 3300. There aren't a lot of places where you can talk on live radio. You know, the mainstream American media is not going to let you call in and say what you want. As soon as you say something they don't like, they're going to disconnect the phone on you and kick you off the radio, because that's the way they are. They're horrible. Go to our website at radiobaladi.com. I think it's a great place to get information. You can get information on Good Morning Michigan, the U.S. Arab Radio Network, hosted by Layla Hosseini. And congratulations to Layla. They've expanded Good Morning Michigan and the U.S. Arab Radio Network. On Tuesdays, they're broadcasting in Washington, D.C. And pretty soon, maybe by next month, we'll be broadcasting here at Radio Baladi on Fridays, also in Washington, D.C. That's our hope. Layla's program is on Monday through Thursday from 8 to 9 a.m., Eastern Time in Detroit. So you want to listen to that program. She has a great group of people, all in Arabic. And on Fridays here at Radio Balady, we do it in English. And we try to engage not just American Arabs and Muslims, but we want the American people to listen and hear what we have to say. Because if they're not listening and they're not hearing what we say, then what's the point? We're doing nothing in this country. Our purpose in this country is to help Americans better understand us. Because, you know, we got a late start. I wrote a book called Arabs of Chicagoland that I did in 2005. And it really kind of gave a nice history of Arab, American, and Muslim settlement in Chicago and how it started. We've been here since the middle of the 19th century. And we're talking like, you know, during the Civil War, there were Arabs here in Chicago. And we've been here doing so much. We're American. We support them. We, you know, this country, we're patriotic. We do everything, and we do our jobs. We pay our taxes. We've made great contributions to this country. But you want to know something? The one thing we haven't done very well is we've never really told our story. Because all those Arabs that came here in the 19th century, like during and after the Civil War, I bet there was an Arab who fought in the Civil War to free slavery under Abraham Lincoln. I'll bet any amount of money there was somebody, probably, if I'm going to guess, Lebanese American, because the Lebanese were the first ones here, really, to settle. But the Palestinians, the Jordanians, and the Syrians, and even the Iraqis. Remember, before, in the old days, especially in the 19th century, we were all under Ottoman control and oppression, and which is now Turkey. But we weren't called Syrians or Lebanese or Jordanians or Palestinians or Iraqis. We're all called Syrians. We're all Arab from the Fertile Crescent. So but the ones that got here first, the original immigrants, they came through the churches. The Christian churches made it easy for immigrants to enter the United States in the 19th and early 20th century. So that's why a lot of Christians got here first before Muslims. And that's why, especially the Lebanese, because in Lebanon there were a lot of missionaries, and those missionaries helped Lebanese get their visas and immigration papers together to travel to the United States. And then, of course, that expanded to Jordan and Palestine in Jerusalem. And they got to come to the United States. And today, of course, we know that Jerusalem is occupied and the residents there are brutalized under an apartheid system under the Netanyahu government. It's not exactly apartheid, but it's pretty close to apartheid. When you discriminate against somebody because of some religious or racial aspect, that is apartheid. Israel isn't as brutal as the South Africans. You know, they've only killed, like, I don't know what, tens of thousands of innocent Christian and Muslim Palestinians. That doesn't still come close to what South Africa did to the African Americans and how many hundreds of thousands they murdered. Like the Shah of Iran, he's another dictator, so I don't like dictators. 248-557-3300. Give us a call. Let's welcome Jamal, who just called in. And there was a woman who called in. You call back. We'd be happy to put you on the line. Jamal, you're on Radio Balady. What did you make of the election?
Hey, Ray, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Going fine, and I know it's going fine with you. Look, the Republicans represent everybody, conservatism.
Yes.
And whether in me and you and everybody. But they have to learn, okay, their leaders or whoever, you know, control, they have to learn how to appeal to the conservatism in every American. They can't go out and present themselves as warmongers and women oppressors. They want to take all this right from the women, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
They can't. I mean, it's just like unbelievable. You know, We are in the 21st century, and we want to go and liberate the world. And you know, but I tell you what, you know, it showed me something that, you know, when we have a good relation with a country who oppressing women. Women in Saudi Arabia can't even drive a car, even walk to the street with a man without having documentation that he is his.
That is absolutely true. You are absolutely right about that. But aren't women oppressed all over the Arab world? Do you think women have it better in any area? Is there one Arab country that really, truly respects women? They all discriminate at different levels, but really, is there one that respects women seriously?
Well, absolutely.
And which one? Which one, seriously? The Arab country I'm talking about.
Well, Lebanon is not an Arab country?
Which one?
Lebanon.
Lebanon? I think they do, to some extent, because they do have some more rights in Lebanon than others, but there's a huge, because I've been to Lebanon, there's a huge movement to prevent women from engaging in politics and a huge movement to prevent women from engaging in business, even though they do engage in business and politics more than any other Arab country. It's true. Lebanon is the most, I'd say, free. But that still isn't good enough. It's still relative, isn't it, Jamal?
But today, Jordan, everywhere, there is nobody in the modern world right now. Now, you know, the rights of women are relatively, you know, it's a myth. I mean, you won't know because women rule the world anyway.
I agree. We like to think that. I think it's true. I think they like being, you know, behind the scenes because I think that's where the power really is.
But let's go back to why you know, common sense always wins. Americans are very smart. You know, we are Americans, and if we say Americans are not smart, we are part of them. Americans are smart and very smart.
Yes, they are.
Sometimes they don't talk. Sometimes they don't do action. They take action when it's necessary to take an action. And when voting comes in, okay, and exercising your right to choose and to express your right to choose who represents you, not maybe 100%, but at least vote for somebody who actually does not represent you. Meaning, you know, you are, the vote in 2012 is not about who you like, about who you don't like.
Isn't that what elections in America are about, though? The least, the one we dislike the least. It's not about who we like. It's about who we don't like. So I voted for Obama because I really was afraid of Romney. I didn't like him. He concerned me.
Brother Ray.
Yes.
One of the best candidates as a businessman for America is Romney.
Well, that's what they said. I wasn't convinced, though, but that's what they argued. But why? Why? Because he was better in business, do you think?
No. He understands how to maximize the dollar. He understands the usage of the dollar in his term is to maximize it and get more profit. Governing is not doing business. Governing is to maximize the dollars to the benefit of the people.
So you think he would have done a better job to help the economy?
No, I don't think so. But I think he could have done a good job. There's no way he can adopt very quick to, like, thinking about maximizing the usage of the dollar he has with the people. The same way, you know, our President Obama did. The key here is, Why the Republican lost? Because
why do you think they lost? That's a good question.
Women didn't vote for them.
A lot of Republicans were divided, weren't they?
No, it doesn't matter. Women in America, conservative, non-conservative, women and young people looked at this and said, wait a minute. he doesn't control, you know, the party. If we bring him in, we believe he is a good man, he is a family man, but he's not going to be able to control the people around him. If the people around him want to bring this country back to the, you know, rock ages. I mean, he had that Murdoch, you know, put himself in public, and he want to become a public official or a governor or a senator or whatever, and he goes and says, you know, God give, raping is from God, or God will. I mean, give me a break. You know, God doesn't advocate for evil. God advocates for good.
I mean, yeah.
In his the governor goes there and supports him. You know, it scares the hell out of my wife, the people I know. Say, wait a minute, are they serious? I mean, Murdoch has the full right for his opinion.
Yeah.
His opinion, I respect his belief, but you know what? You are not a product for public office. And whoever supports you is not the product of a public office.
I don't know. I didn't like, I'll be honest, I didn't like Romney because I didn't think he did a good enough job. He couldn't get his own party together. They were so divided. And he kept flip-flopping. He kept changing his mind. I would rather have a guy who says something that I don't like, but at least is consistent, rather than somebody who's just changing because all of a sudden they realize maybe they have a chance to become president of the United States. And so I don't know. I was very disappointed. But like I said, Jamal, I was not happy with Barack Obama. I think during his first 4 years in office, he was a disappointment. I like Obamacare. I think it's very important for the American people that we have national health insurance that would cover everybody. We're not there yet, but I think Obama, more than anybody, will bring it. But you want to know the truth deep down in my heart? I support Hillary Clinton. I wish that she could have won and become president of the United States.
Hey, don't disappoint yourself. We may have her.
I hope so. I think it might have been easier if Romney won. Because, you know, over the next 4 years, people are going to be very unhappy with the Democrats. And Obama is not going to be as good as everybody thinks.
No.
So then they may end up electing a Republican just because they're angry with the Democrats. So I don't know.
Okay.
Jamal, listen, thank you so much for calling. I always appreciate listening to your opinions and your thoughts. They really help educate us. And, you know, it's part of our dialogue. We have to keep doing this in public.
Greg, I gotta say one thing very quick because.
Go ahead.
How about making you tomorrow deciding that you wanna be a biologist and we cannot take you off the air and make you a biologist? Are you gonna be able to succeed there, or can you change? I mean, we can give you all this award, whatever you're thinking. You read a couple books about biology, but you are not a biologist.
Right.
Mitt Romney is a businessman. He lived all his life to maximize the profit for the shareholders. He is always for private equity. He is always to make individuals rich. He is never been, you know, for the public service, whatever. Maybe on the site he has that. You can't bring somebody like that and put him in a position to serve the public. It's not going to work in America. They have to take from their mind, the Republican, that governing and the government is not a business. There's municipal accounting and business accounting. There's a finance for business and finance for governing. You can't win anymore in a world like this. And trying to say, well, governor, we want to run the government like we're running the business. You can't run government like business. This is a dream.
All right. Jamal, I think you made a great point. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You're welcome. Thanks, Jamal. Yeah, I tell you, listen, for Arab voters, I think we're more American than the rest of the ethnic groups that stole all this land from the Native Americans. You know, I have to tell you, by the way, just a segue, and I'll get back to my point. I'm reading a book about Hawaii, and I'm very disappointed in the way the Americans raped and pillaged Hawaii. I never knew that. They didn't teach us that in school, the way we abuse the natives in Hawaii, the native Hawaiians. It's just horrible, and I'm very depressed about it. I wish I didn't read the book because I just hate it. But we are, as Arab Americans and Muslim Americans, we are much better and much more American, because even though we care about the Middle East, many Arabs and Muslims didn't vote for president because of the Middle East issue. They voted for the president based on the economy, as Jamal pointed out. He didn't call to say that it was his Middle East policies of the White House that concerned him the most. He called to say that the priority for him was this country's economy, which impacts everybody. The Middle East policies don't impact everybody, but America's economy does. So a lot of American Arabs and Muslims voted on the basis of what's best for the United States. And I think a lot of American Jews did the same thing, because they ended up supporting Obama, I think, because of his support of social programs. The American Jewish community, more than anybody, as far as I'm concerned, has shown a real passion to support people in need. They have done a tremendous job. I wish Arabs and Muslims would do as much as a community, like the Jewish American community. They do deserve credit for that. I just wish Jewish Americans would stop their blind defense of Israel, you know, and close their eyes to the brutality of the Israeli government, because Israel is not the country that the Jewish people promised themselves that they would establish. Israel is one of the most brutal, militaristic countries in the Middle East. Let's take another call from Manuel here at Radio Ballady at 248-557-3300, and then we'll take a break. But go ahead, Manuel. You're on Radio Ballady. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
How are you?
Morning. How are you? My approach as receiving introduction for the direction has been for timely. Knowledge eternally is the goal of any existent human being related to the meaning of centralization as nature has been. While the goal to be maintained between the existence essentially for the goal of graduation, feeling that timely currently, the recognition as competitive is the trouble of the organization has been feel the following of call to be there. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Manuel. Somebody can help me figure out what the... Listen, no disrespect, but I had a hard time. I understood him, but I just didn't understand his point. Anyway, call 248-557-3300. We want to hear your views. It is 43 minutes after the top of the hour. We're going to take our final break here at Radio Ballady to thank our sponsors. But I want to hear what you have to say. 248-557-3300. Give us a call. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
Whether it's Makluba, Warak Dawali, Tabbouleh, Hummus, Mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil, and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes, from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
Icon Computer Megastore. Mention Radio Baladi for great deals. Computers and laptops from $99. Apple computers from $129. Warranties included. Shipping available. Free layaway plans. Arabic to English keyboards, $5. Mouses, $5. Repairs for iPods, iPads, Apple computers, and PCs. Icon Computer Megastore on Greenfield, north of Warren Avenue in Dearborn. Mention Radio Baladi. Call today, 313-582-3100. 313-582-3100.
SevilleMedia.com is a wellspring of media arts. SevilleMedia.com tells God's story through short films, drama, poetry, music, and the internet. And you have free media downloads. Go to SevilleMedia.com and listen to Nasheed, based on the Psalms of the Prophet David, for free downloads in several Arabic dialects of stories, short films, poetry, and music. Go to SevilleMedia.com.
Jake's Candy, two for $1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Saleh at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania. I'm reading my Twitter feed. Again, you can go to radioballady.com. You can connect to me on Facebook and on Twitter. And I'm reading my Twitter feed, and a couple of things that the Saudi roads are the most dangerous in the world. I think the United Arab Emirates is probably the most dangerous, but they might be. And then Bashar al-Assad, I don't know, is this guy like on drugs or something? Is he hallucinating? He says there's no civil war in Syria. Everything's fine. You know, Bashar al-Assad, I can see his right hand waving like the queen, you know, wiggling it the way the queen does. Yeah, everything's fine in Syria. Well, what about the thousands of little children you murdered? Guy's a brutal dictator. It's just so terrible. And then Krauthammer, one of the worst, most vicious columnists in the United States, he says that the Republican Party is fine. There's no need to change it. I don't know. I think the Republican Party really screwed up. They missed their opportunity to win the presidency. They had a chance, but they just didn't know how to do it. But the interesting thing is, while Israeli Jews supported Romney, many Jewish Americans supported Obama. And I think that Jewish Americans did the right thing for the right reasons. There are a lot of people in Israel that criticize Obama because, you know, they don't want an American president to, you know, be fair. They want an American president to support them and do what they want. And what they're doing is violating international law and the rule of law. So they don't want an American president who's going to impose civil rights and the rule of law. The Israelis want an American president who'll be their slave, who'll be under their thumb. So they voted for Romney because they thought, okay, this desperate Republican, even though his religion may not respect the Jewish people, they wanted him to be president. But American Jews, on the other hand, the majority of them voted for President Obama because they believe that out of the two candidates, even though, as Jamal pointed out, Romney knows business better than Obama, Obama knows social concerns and care for our people better than Romney. So I don't know if you agree with that, but I'd like to hear what you have to say. We're talking about the presidential election results. Barack Obama defeated Mitt Romney. Why? Why do you think Obama won? Was it because Romney did a bad job campaigning? Was it because the Republican Party was divided? Or is it possible that Obama just had a better organized campaign? Or is it possible that, you know, that Americans had a choice? Do we support cold business strategy to improve our economy and sacrifice what we do for the poor and the needy in this country? Because that's what I think Romney wanted to do. Or do we continue to forge ahead and try to repair the economy but still support those people in need? That's the way I view it. I think, you know, I had to vote for Obama as much as I hated it. Believe me, I didn't want to vote for Obama. I wish there was an alternative candidate who had any chance of winning. But, you know, like I said, Ralph Nader is a good guy, but he has no chance of winning. So I'm not going to throw my vote away on a third-party candidate who has no chance of winning. So I just want somebody who's going to represent us. Listen, one day we'll have an American Arab president. It may be 200 or 300 years from now, but we're going to have an American Arab and maybe a Muslim as president of the United States. And I think when that happens, electing an African American was a big deal. But electing an Arab president of the United States, that may take an act of God. That would be a miracle, because there's so much hatred in this hypocritical country of ours, in the United States. So many Americans. I'm telling you, the anger about among the hardcore conservative Republicans, they're angry that Romney lost, and they're blaming the Middle East, and they're blaming Arabs and Muslims. And they're pointing a finger at Obama, and they're saying he might as well be a Muslim. And when they say Muslim, they don't just mean Muslim as a religion. They mean Muslim as a culture, because they think of Arabs as being Muslim, and Muslims and Arabs are all one thing. In their eyes, Obama could be Arab, Muslim. They don't care. They don't believe he's American like them. And that's one reason why I thought, okay, I got to vote for Obama, even though he's not very successful. He is the better of the two. And I think that deep down, despite his failures, he does desire to make this a better country. Here in Chicago, where I'm at, it's terrible. Life here is horrible. Our community is divided. They can't get together. We backstab each other more than any other community. I know every ethnic group does it, but the Arab and Muslim community, we backstab each other more than anybody, more than even what you think happens in Detroit. It's just in the Arab community in Detroit. I know there are a lot of different factions there that just backstab each other, but I'm telling you, in Chicago, we make it a profession, and it's horrible. And people like Rahm Emanuel, who hates the Arab community and the Muslim community. Well, he hates Muslim Arabs. He likes non-Arab Muslims, and he works with them, but he won't work with the Arab community unless you're from outside of Chicago. If you're outside of Chicago, and he'll kind of send you a letter of support. But he won't invite any Arabs to any meetings. He won't appoint any Arabs to any positions in Chicago government. And he is probably the worst, most discriminatory mayor we've ever had. And there's nothing we can do about it, because we backstab each other, and the Arabs are afraid to stand up to him. And other Arabs are trying to curry favor with him, and they don't mind being discriminated against, you know, by Emanuel. So they'll work with him to get something, whatever it is. And that's sad, isn't it? We don't stick together. I think we should. I wish we had a stronger voice. I remember in the 90s, the Arab community asked me to run for office. I was the first Arab American to run for public office in Chicago in 1991. I ran for the Illinois legislature. I almost won. I came very close. But I'll tell you, the Republican I ran against in a Republican district, I almost won as a Democratic candidate for the legislature. The Republican candidate put out a letter that was in 90, by the time the election was, I think it was November 91. They said Ray Hanania wasn't just a Palestinian, he was a Muslim, and he was an Iraqi. And I said, well, I'm proud to be mistaken for a Muslim because I respect the Muslim and Islamic community. But I'm really disgusted that a candidate for office would attack somebody based on a religion, even if they're so ignorant and stupid they don't even know that I'm a Christian Arab. But they attacked me and they said, oh, he's not just a Muslim. He's not a Palestinian. He's not just a Palestinian. He's an Iraqi Muslim Palestinian, which makes no sense. But when you're sending letters to American voters, making sense doesn't always matter. They don't care about facts. So I never won because I was Arab. But I do am so proud of the fact that so many Arabs at that time supported me. And then I thought, okay, maybe I'm just too high profile. So we found a woman who was a educator in Chicago, probably one of the best educators in the entire state of Illinois, appointed to so many state government positions, Miriam Zayed, just beautiful, a Muslim, Palestinian, Arab woman. And we ran her for office for a school district race that encompassed 80% of all the Arabs in the southwest side of Chicago. And Chicago is a big place. They had 600 Arab students back in 1994 in a District 230, and that was 10% of the student body, which was 6,000 kids. So they were 10% of the student body at the school, 600 Arab kids out of 6,600 total students at three high schools. But you want to know something? 90% of all the kids being expelled from that high school district were Arab and Muslim. So here we are. We were only 10% of the population, but we were 90% of the kids being expelled. So we wanted to change the board and make them more accountable, and they hated us. The fact that we were Arabs, that was their campaign issue to fight us. They prevented us, and still to this day, we cannot elect anybody to office who openly runs as an Arab in Chicago. It's in Chicagoland. It's impossible. And it's sad and it's tragic. And the main reason is Muslims won't support a Christian Arab. Christian Arabs won't support Muslim Arabs. I'm not talking about all of the community. I'm talking about small pockets of people in the different communities. They wouldn't support us. It was our own community that cut its own throat. Our own community that tripped ourselves up. We had an opportunity, you know, to make a difference, but we won't support that person or that candidate because for some reason we don't like them. Maybe because they're Jordanian or they're Palestinian or they're Lebanese or they're Syrian or they're Iraqi. We're the only people that look at ourselves and see our differences. American people don't see our differences at all. Anyway, I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank all our callers who called in, Jamal, Manuel, Nofal, all of them. It was very kind of you to call in here at Radio Ballady. We're here every Friday. Now, next Friday and the Friday after, I'm going to be taking off because I got to do some business and I'll be traveling. But Layla El Husseini will be back next Friday. So you want to call in and show some love, okay, and support Layla because she is a good person. I like her. I met her a long time ago, and I know I've lost, you know, there are a couple people that didn't like Layla, who are my best friends in the journalism business, and they literally refused to talk to me because I said I was going to help Layla and work with her. And I think she's the most upstanding American Arab in Detroit, in the entire Detroit land, that I've met in a long time. Her and the people around her, I respect her. She's going to be here Friday. You want to support her. She'll be in the studio. I know you hear her Monday through Thursday all the time, but you'll be able to hear her in English on Friday, this coming Friday and next Friday. And then when I come back, I'll be back here. But please give Layla all the support you can during the week, Monday through Thursday on Good Morning Michigan, and also on Friday when she substitute hosts. So thank you all our sponsors, Zied Brothers, Jake's Candy, Icon Computers, Stephen Lagana, and especially Jemana K. Ruse, one of my favorite. She is absolutely one of my favorite activists and attorneys out there. The American Muslim Center, MC Gold TV, The Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, Sabil Media at sabilmedia.com, Life for Relief and Development at lifeusa.org, and the Dearborn Free Press. I'm Ray Hanania. Again, thank you for joining us. You guys have a great week. Go to radioballady.com to stay in touch. We'll talk to you later. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
WNZK has available a few good hours of airtime.